Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I am joined today by Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron. Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Happy first day of spring.
Yes,
it is
ma'am.
The first day of spring. I don't care what your weather is.
It doesn't
out your
feel
window.
Like it.
I know, but I had to read about it today, and it just means that the sun is at the equator for equal amounts of times today. That's about as much science as you're going to get from me for that. But, you know, we are so grateful to have new seasons, whether it's our new season of life or a new season in the weather, and we're looking forward to it. You know, we talk a lot about attachment styles here on New Life, and I think sometimes people really understand it, and they go, oh, yeah, I get it. But I would love for you guys to have a discussion about the attachment style pleaser. There's quite a few people that can identify as a pleaser. And Mark, let's start with you and we'll get going on just what does it mean if you have a pleaser attachment style?
Well, a pleaser attachment style is somebody who is very conflict avoidant, somebody who wants to please and appease, and that's not always a good thing. It's good to be congenial, it's good to get along with others, but it's not always good to give in all the time. And this style usually forms a few different ways. Usually when you have a parent who is very angry or highly critical, or a parent who is highly stressed or maybe depressed or even anxious and codependent. And what happens to a child is they learn to manage their parents' anxiety. And so they become the good kid. They learn to please and pacify, and they end up going into adulthood being this people pleaser. And so that's their default strategy for relationships is pleasing. And like I said, they're very conflict avoidant. Many people like pleasers because they're easygoing. You know, they just go with the flow. But the problem is they often have no boundaries. They become codependent, they're conflict avoidant, which again is not always a good thing to be so conflict avoidant. And like I said, when one person always gets their way in a relationship, that is not a good thing for you, and that's not a good thing for them. And
yeah. So, you know, a lot of times too, pleasers do all of that with a big smile on their face, even though there may be pain and frustration. Alice, what would you say to somebody who identifies with what Mark just explained? What can you do to kind of grow up into a more secured attachment?
Well, I'd say that we first accept the good in the style, because we, and I am a people pleaser in recovery, we do tend to be pretty generous and empathic. We're sensitive to other people's emotions, and those are strengths. But if it's the main way we relate to people, we tend to overgive and we underexpress our true preferences. We don't usually have a strong no. We give a lot of yeses to people's requests, and it's not sustainable over the long term. In a real generous, honest way, we pleasers tend to build up a lot of resentment and bitterness because we overgive. And so we have to start practice being honest in really small, bite-sized ways. And often we have to do it in a counseling setting or a safe group setting where we're with other people in recovery who want to practice secure attachment, where we can express opposing opinions and still be okay, even if we upset somebody else or disagree with them. So it's baby step practicing with safe people. And then we build that muscle up.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that it's been such an incredible gain to the counseling world to have an understanding of attachment styles and how they enact in relationships. And of course, you know, we've been helping people with this process in their marriages and in their families. But, you know, maybe you've got a question about how you are attached or not. And you can call us, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be taking calls. We've got some on the board. We've got space open for you, but we want to help you. We're so glad to be back live where you can get in touch with us right away. And we look forward to taking your calls. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking your calls at 1-800-229-3000. We've got quite a few people who are going, they're starting a new life today. They joined us at Lose It for Life on Saturday, and it was a great group of folks that learned about how to live free of the it, right? That's the thing that we're feeding so many times. And Lose It for Life is such a great day to spend to get started on a new life. And we're so glad for all of you who attended. We are going to go to our phones and we're going to talk to Mary, who's calling us from Houston, Texas, listens on the app, and you can too. You can download the app for free wherever you get your apps. Hi, Mary. I'm so glad you called. How can we help you today?
I just want to know what your advice would be. My husband and I talked a lot about sexual immorality to our boys. And my oldest is 17. He turns 18 next month. And I used to check his messages a lot, and I haven't. And the other day I did, and I found he's been with her sending text messages about what they would do sexually if they were married. And it's really just not disturbing. But alarming. It's like, we've talked a lot about, okay, sex is normal in a long-term relationship. God created that to go alongside commitment, and those feelings are natural. That's why you shouldn't be in a relationship till you're ready to be married. And, you know, they started when they were 16. They've been together a year and a half. And I don't know what else to tell him. He's getting ready to be 18. I mean, he knows what we think. We've had a lot of discussions. I don't know what else to say, or if just let God
it's a great question, Mary, and you're not the only parents that are asking this. It is a new world of connection, whether it is real or just online, whatever, but he's had this long relationship. Mark, let's start with you, and we'll see where we can go with helping this family.
Wow, Mary, I'm right with you. Mm-hmm. I have two kids who are 17, about to turn 18 in the next few months here. And I'm glad that you're checking your son's phone. I don't think it's snooping. I think it's good parenting to be able to do that. You have to check in on them and check what they're doing. It's hard in this world today, I would say. The messages on sexuality are so strong, and it's so in your face right now. I know what it's like. I say this to my kids. I know what it's like to be your age, but I don't know what it's like to be your age in this culture, in this time. It's got to be so hard. But what I would say is, and again, I understand that it's disturbing for you to find that out. It is a type of exploration. Throughout every stage of childhood development, kids explore. And in this stage, they're still exploring. But it doesn't mean that your alarm bell shouldn't be going off and your boundaries shouldn't be set. What's your relationship like with your son right now?
I would say good. I would say good. We're good about, you know, we have sit-down lectures. Like my husband will talk lecture. I like to dialogue. Like, I like to ask questions. But it's been a while. It's probably been like 6 months since we've had this conversation about, you know, sex and his girlfriend. And he's my rule follower overall. Mm-hmm. He goes to a Christian school. Mm-hmm. He's very overall disciplined. And I think it's just, like you said, it's a natural thing when you've been with someone this long and you're close, we know her, it's like, what else? Yeah, should we say something?
Yeah, I definitely would say something. I think these are the opportunities here. When you discover these things, it's not necessarily a failure of parenting or a failure for your kids. It's really an opportunity to be able to have those conversations on a deeper level that you might not get the opportunity to have at another time, right? And so I definitely would reveal that. I would do that if it were me to my kids, and I would say, hey, listen, I was checking on you, and I saw this text, and tell me about that. And I would maybe stop there and let them talk.
And don't you wonder too, Mary, what does her mom and dad think about her receiving these messages? I think that would be a good question to ask him. But let's hear what Alice has to say.
Mary, do you know what is praiseworthy about something you found within that very same message? Can you identify something praiseworthy?
Right. That's true. I mean, that's true. Yeah.
What was it?
It doesn't mean, I mean, I didn't. Well, if we're married.
Yes, that's an incredible part to it. And it doesn't negate that it's concerning that they're playing with temptation, with the fantasy and with the conversation.
Yeah.
But it is incredible that they're talking about it for marriage. Mm-hmm. So in this conversation Mark is proposing, I would start with praise. I noticed this part and I praise that. And we just had a similar conversation with our child the other day, but it was about lying. And we started off with confession on our parental part that I'm a liar too. I'm still a liar in recovery. I'm still tempted to lie. I was not sexually perfect before marriage either. And I know the allure of this. This is fun stuff to talk about and fantasize about. So validation, any humble confession, if you were sexually imperfect, but I agree that your style of dialoguing and listening more than talking does tend to be more effective. If your husband can be part of it without lecturing, I think it'd be great if he were able to take the lead with a questioning style like you would normally do. And I'd probably bring to your son's attention the flee from temptation idea, that if we're following Jesus's standard of not even looking at a woman with lust, well, they're already acting out the lust with their words, which I myself did in my prior relationships, but he's not fleeing from temptation. I'd even consider drawing the girlfriend into a secondary conversation after having it with your son, where you all pray together, you all admit that this is a sin almost everybody struggles with, and then set up an accountability that Dad will be checking in with you every so often about how you're doing with this.
Yeah, that's good. And don't just tell them what the boundaries are. Ask him, what do you think the boundaries should be? Let it be his ideas that come up, and then you can affirm, you know, what is good in that. And then you could say, you know what, this is what I would do. This is what I think is a healthy boundary to do. But I like what Alice is saying is to check in accountability.
And that's the reason why I mentioned her parents, because there is a recipient of these messages that may not be so excited about the fact that their daughter's getting these kind of messages. It's a lot. And so, you know, some reality for teenagers is pretty powerful because they don't really always know. And I think that's where a lot of them, like you said, Mark, being a teenager today is completely different. Completely different than when we were, or especially when I was a teen. But I'm just saying there are a lot of pitfalls that they can get into that were not even available at that time. I think you guys are doing great. Go ahead.
He asked me advice because he told me he found out she used to struggle with borderline porn for men. Like, she was crazy, like, obsessed with men and bodies. He's like, and I don't struggle with that with girls in it. He's like, should I break up with her? I was like, the fact that she told you that is great. So we went over, I just told him, you know, so there's a layer there. Like, it's not just him being inappropriate. I think she is as much as him in that struggle. So.
Right. Well, that's the world we live in right now. And, you know, that's why it's great to have the conversations. I think we're going to send you a copy of Every Young Man's Battle. I think that would be helpful for him. But, you know, Mary, you guys are doing a great job. You know, conversation is very helpful for these kids as they, you know, make choices that could alter their life. You know, that's been going around since the beginning of time, but we're just glad that you guys are able to have the conversation. Thanks for calling. We're still taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk with Sophia, calling from Seattle, Washington, listens on KGNW. Hi, Sophia. I'm so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Oh, thank you so much. I hope you can help me. I'm going to ask a question, and then maybe you'll have to ask me, but how do I work with myself to grow with attachment issues as I am working with some narcissistic personality types as the major players as we're planning some sibling memorials in May? And I'm the youngest of seven. I came from, I feel I have a lot of rejection issues, and I've been divorced and in an abusive marriage, and I tend to be a very strong people pleaser. And there's a couple people that I'm working with that just scare me, really scare me. And I kind of tried to speak up with them this weekend and talk, and it didn't go very well. And I wondered if you could give me some help.
Sure. We're glad you called, Sophia. Alice, let's start with you. How can we help, Sophia?
Sophia, you've done the major first step in identifying that you're a people pleaser and that it's tough for you to have conversations with really strong personalities. So bravo that you know that about yourself. And I think I hear that it's coming up in two different areas. One is in planning siblings' memorials, and is the other one in your work environment?
Not my work environment, totally. I'm retired. But just in dealing with life in general, I run into some issues quite often. Mm-hmm.
And what's the structured work you've already done in any kind of counseling or group setting about this?
So I've been working for 5 years with a very highly qualified Christian counselor, and he is a very wonderful man. But there isn't, somehow I don't get some of the warmth, and I'm very broken from my childhood, being the youngest of seven, so I feel sometimes like I need maybe a woman life coach or something. I need to go further in my growth, obviously, and I'm working with the Emotional Freedom Workbook and one other book that you sent me. So I am working very hard, and I pray a lot. And I do need more growth, though, I'm sure.
And Sophia, what would it be like for you to bring up this need for greater warmth, to address that directly with your therapist? And to talk about whether or not to either add a female into the team you're working with or to switch from your therapist to a female coach for a time. How difficult would that be to address directly with your therapist?
I have tried to address that with them, and it doesn't seem like we get very far. It may be because of my people-pleasing, I don't push it very much.
Yeah, and so therapy is a collaboration, Sophia. So maybe you might even need to write this down. Maybe you write your therapist an email and you put your thoughts down there, because this is, you know, like Alice was saying, this is the perfect opportunity to be able to practice the skills that you need with a therapist, with somebody who you have an attachment type relationship with, who doesn't have a lot of expectation from you. And so I would definitely bring this up to your therapist, write it down. That's what my suggestion would be. Send that email. And then when your therapist addresses the email with you, when you come in for that next session, let your therapist know, like, hey, would you help me? This is where I think my biggest need is. And one thing that I like to do with people who are in the situation like you is I role play. And I take on both roles. I say, okay, I'm going to be I'm going to start off being you. You act like your loved one or the difficult, challenging person in your life. And I'm going to give the message. And then you say what you think they're going to say. And I'm going to show you what to do to stand up to them. And then I switch the role around, right? Because we only get good at whatever we practice. So you need to learn how to practice these things to be able to get good at them.
Sure. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's what I need. Okay, well, thank you. So I'll just get brave and, okay.
Yeah, write that email. You can do it, Sophia.
Well, it's funny because, Sophia, you have a collaboration. Like you said, Mark, you're already in counseling. If you have confidence in the counselor, they can help you in this process. But it is hard. It's hard to ask for help even in the midst of having help, which sounds really kind of like, well, what can we do? But Alice, like you were saying too, it's what do you need? It could be a coach. It could be something extra. Counseling is not the only pathway when we're dealing with healing and processing, right?
But I'd also say, Becky, sometimes people want to end counseling when they hit a challenge, and that's actually where you can get this huge benefit from counseling, to be
so
able
true.
To address that with the therapist and work it out.
And it's okay to say to a therapist, I think I don't push my need with you enough, so would you role play with me how I can push my need with you? Because I think I let go if you decline or you say, no, you don't think it's a good idea, so teach me how to be stronger with you so I can be stronger with my siblings.
I love that so much. And that's the reason why I kind of went further with that, because there's a lot of folks that are doing work and they're thinking that the counselor is going to have all of the answers, but you have to show up, and it's going to take risk, and there's going to be times where it's going to feel overwhelming. But, you know, a good counselor is an advocate, and they're going to help you. And if it doesn't work out, you can say, you know, I don't really like this. It's not working for me. And then, you know, how can we get through this? We're glad you called, Sophia. And we're continuing to take calls. Maybe you're in a place where you're stuck. Call us.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And we would like to help you. So give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We have a few lines open, but we've got some calls that are waiting. And we're going to go right to Gary, who's calling us from Westchester, Pennsylvania, listens on the internet. And we're glad you called. Gary, how can we help you?
Thank you very much for taking my call. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. How can my wife and I get out and do new fun things in spite of our significant illnesses?
Oh. Well, tell us a little bit more, Gary. What are the struggles as far as the illnesses that keep you from doing the things that you want to do?
Well, we both struggle with, my wife has fibromyalgia, mm-hmm. and I have severe COPD, but it's also emotional struggles between us.
Mm. Okay.
That's the biggest part.
All right. Alice, you want to start?
Would you describe the emotional struggles, Gary?
Yeah. We come from very, I could say, we come from very different backgrounds. Very, very different backgrounds. And I am wanting to do things outside of the house. And we're retired. We're actually old. And we have a nice place. What the deal is that we spent time and we have an apartment that we're getting rid of. That was for my wife. She wanted to have that back where she grew up. So I said, fine, that's been 4 years. Now we're going to get rid of that. And I want to figure out a new plan for spending that amount of time and that amount of money so that we can just redirect it. And it's really hard living in two houses, but it's really hard living on the road. And I want to do some kind of a road trip. And she's just not one for going anywhere unless it's for a specific reason, not going for a joyride or a Sunday ride.
So, Gary, when you say, I want us to have more fun, let's brainstorm what we're both interested in doing outside of the house, how does she respond to you? What's her answer to that?
Most often, I don't get a yes or a no. I go, maybe. That's what I hear. Mm-hmm. Almost.
And when you push it to let's pick something for this weekend. What can we do that you'd be interested in doing this weekend? Then what happens?
We both have to say pretty much, okay, if we're feeling good, if we feel like doing the basic activities of life, which you know what that is. So we might not even get that done.
So the pain level is certainly so frequently high for both of you that day by day you don't know if you're going to be up for doing something enjoyable. Let's look for an exception. When was the last time you two did something you both enjoyed together?
Part of my problem is my memory, but we did something relatively recent. I think we went out for dinner, and that was fun for me. I don't know if you didn't like seeing it. So going out to eat is something that would be good as opposed to calling and having something delivered. Because
so, Gary, Gary, I hear that the challenge is how to connect with each other on what, whether it's day-to-day or future. And it's kind of like what we were talking about when we opened the show. It sounds like you both have a little bit of pleasure activity going on. Mark, would you say that that may be part of the problem?
It could be. It could be. You know what, Gary? I love that you want to spend some time with your wife here. That's fantastic. And I'm sure you've communicated that to her in different ways. And I would do that again. I would keep making those efforts. I like what Alice said about brainstorming. And what I would do, I think, here, my suggestion anyway, is make a list. Make a list of all these different fun things that you could possibly do. And then I hear what you're saying about your wife. She sometimes backs out. But plan. Try and plan your week out, and then have a secondary thing that you can do that if pain levels do get too much, okay, what's a secondary thing that we can do together? But one thing that you might have to do is, you know, not to abandon your wife, but, you know, it's important for you to have time to go out, too. You might have to let your wife know that you're going to go and spend an evening with some friends, and you'd love her to join you in that. But if not, you're going to be a couple of hours and then you'll be back again, because it sounds like you need some of those times to refresh you. My wife would do that with me. She, you know, I hear what you're saying and I empathize. Sometimes she'll say that I don't make a decision, but she'll make a decision. And, you know, lots of times I'm invited to go with her, and then I have to make that decision. What do I want to do? Do I want to stay home, or do I want to go with her and do something fun? So that's just my suggestion.
I love it. Alice, you have one last word for Gary.
Gary, just want you to check on what happens with your disappointment. When she gives a maybe and then it doesn't happen because pain is too high, then do you withdraw too far back for too long? And so this consistent setting up an event, even if it's tentative, even if it might be canceled, persevere. Keep at it. I don't want that to get in your way, that there are cancellations.
I love it. I'm going to send them a copy of the Mediterranean Love Plan.
Oh, that's
I
know a good that, one, Beck. Yeah.
I know that there's some limitations, but when Mark said make a list, I immediately thought of that book because there's so many great suggestions. And, you know, we can make the adjustments according to our physical needs, you know, but I hope that this is a great next chapter for you, Gary. We'll be right back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are still taking your calls, and by we, I mean me, Becky Brown, Dr. Alice Benton, and Mark Cameron, and we have an extra person in the room today. It's Larry Sonnenberg. Hi, Larry.
Hey,
glad
Becky.
That you could join us.
Thank you.
What
glad
news
to be
do
here.
You have for us?
Well, I'm thinking of the next workshop we're doing, which is Courageous Parents, and it's April the 1st online. Steve Arterburn, Jim Burns, Jill Hubbard, and it's going to be great. It always is. And evidence of that is what this one couple wrote afterwards. I've got another one for another day just to encourage folks. If you're single parents, you can still mm-hmm. come to this because mm-hmm. there's a real good testimony from a single mom. But here's what this couple said. This opportunity for us as a couple to have productive input and conversations about the huge aspect of our life was worthwhile. It gave us new momentum of hope to continue that as a habit, not get sucked into our child's chaos and quit trying to move forward. We had lost sight of even hoping for the goal of future independence. The reminder about unsolicited advice being seen as criticism, and the reminder of the need for a 5-to-1 ratio is also very helpful. So, folks, you're going to get tips, you're going to get experience, you're going to listen to other people in your group, and they're going to make a difference. You'll offer things as well. But come and be open, be vulnerable, help people. Know that you can be that way. If you have a tear to shed, shed it. That's helpful. It's healing. So come and learn some things about how to be a parent to adult children. That's not always easy. And just this weekend, one of my sons paid $800 for a dog, and they don't have $800 to pay for a dog. It's killing me.
Did you bite your tongue, Larry?
I did.
Good.
I think Rhonda bit hers harder than I bit mine.
I had a conversation with Dr. Jim Burns about biting our tongues as our children make decisions, and I said, mine's shorter than it was 20 years ago. So I'm just saying, you know, I think anybody who is out of parenting, because that's what we were talking about, this is where you are a parent, you gave birth to these people, yeah. But they're people now, and they do make decisions like by $800 dogs, and that's not yours. So we would love for you to join us.
But the dog was worth a few thousand, so they got a deal.
So it's got resale value, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So anyway, I love my son, I love my daughter-in-law, but sometimes those decisions are hard to just sit back and listen to.
Yeah, you probably should stop talking right about now.
And, yeah, Rhonda's going to kill me already.
She is going to kill you. But you know, isn't it? It's so great that we're able to offer online workshops for things like this, or we just did Lose It for Life. And, you know, while Larry gets his voice back, I'm going to just say thank you to all who have given to our scholarship fund for folks who
amen.
Are trying to come to the workshops. And, you know, you're making a difference in the lives of so many people. And, of course, you know, we're grateful for our Club New Life family. But, you know, you could join Club New Life if you want to and be part of the giving family that helps so many people find a new life. Larry, do you have anything else before you get in trouble again?
No, you said it well. Thank you, everybody. I can't thank you enough. So,
well, we appreciate you, Larry, and all you do, and we appreciate our giving family as well. You can call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE to give, or if you want to talk on the show, you can give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk to R.E. right now, who's calling us from Fort Worth, Texas, watches us on YouTube, and we love our YouTube family, and I always say that, just subscribe and share, and we're glad you're here. But R.E., how can we help you today?
So I'm emotional and even trembling a little bit.
Oh.
I've been divorced, but I was married to someone who I still remain covenantly committed to. I love her that much. And she would ask, would you please explain to me the problem? What's wrong? My mind would go blank. Which was very frustrating to me, certainly frustrating to her. And I wanted to ask, I even told the person when I called that I got the two best women that I literally wanted to ask this question to. Because I don't think it's uncommon, and you may be able to explain so that I can play this back to her. That sometimes, I don't know if it's a male thing, or I know that I would get frightened. I know that it developed to a point where I would literally tremble about getting into a, you know, a discussion about anything, thinking that it will not go well. I mean, when I listened to the beginning of this session, it's like, that's me. People pleaser, and we had a psychologist, Christian psychologist, is trying to help us. She said, I do collaborative counseling. That didn't, it didn't help. It helped us, but it didn't. I would leave those sessions sometimes beaten down, guilty, depressed, sometimes. And I would go to them even trembling. And my wife doesn't even know that to this day.
You know, R.E., what you're talking about is so common when we have a pleaser attachment style. The internal anxiety is controlling everything. And it's something Milan Yurkovich used to talk about all the time, is that your internal anxiety is so high that you want everyone around you to be okay so that you can feel okay. So it makes sense to me that you have this apprehension, whether you're talking to us or talking to your wife or going into, you know, a therapy session. But I think we can get you started in a good direction. Alice, do you want to start?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ari, I tell you that it is courageous for you to call. I've called radio shows myself, and my body also trembled and felt almost out of control. So to go through that and get our advice, I honor your courage, sir. You keep trying, and I can see that even from just what you've told us so far. Ari, do you know what the historical pain is when you feel like you're being questioned and maybe interrogated? What's the old, old story behind that, where that was a really scary thing for you, perhaps as a kid?
I would probably have to dwell on that thought. I'm not very young anymore. And she and I started Mylan's book,
mm-hmm.
Mylan's and wife's, and I literally had to call my sister to be able to answer some of the questions. That was a tough book.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even finish it, but it's so deep, you know.
Ari, are there chunks of your childhood that you don't have recollection of?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yes, unfortunately.
Oh, and it brings tears to you just even acknowledging that. So my guess is that it was because you went through some very difficult things that perhaps to survive them, they've gone into your subconscious and are not easily accessible to you. Might that have been true about your childhood?
Absolutely. And I've learned historical things that are painful.
Oh, Ari, I feel for you. I like what you're doing, though, and I often encourage clients to do this, because what's happening is that you even though you don't have this narrative memory, you have this feeling memory in your body. Your body is a storage system. And so even though you can't remember what happened, your body remembers what happened to the stimulus that is triggering it. And so I encourage you to do that. Ask siblings, people who were around when you were younger, about memories. But the fear is a learned response. So somewhere in your childhood, you know, you have learned this fear freeze response. And what happens is this: the part of the brain that assesses threat and deals with emotion, it's called the amygdala. It actually shuts down the pathways to the frontal part of your brain, your prefrontal cortex, and that's where language is stored. And so when you go into this freeze response, you literally lose access to your language, and that's why you can't talk, right? And so it's a biological response. It's not necessarily a will or a character thing. And I think learning more about what is happening in that moment, hopefully if your wife can listen to this, she can understand what is happening. It's involuntary what is happening to you. And so, you know, what you'll need to do is you'll need to learn to face that fear likely in small increments to be able to get what we call systematic desensitization. And that's the pathway to start to overcome it as you face it.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true, Ari, that the trauma that we experience, you don't even have words for it. You're feeling it, though. We're going to take a break. We'll come back after the break. We're going to continue to take calls, 1-800-229-3000. If you're on the line, hold on. And we'll have some closing thoughts for you, Ari, when we come back. But we're so glad you called. It's a great next step. And I think we can get you started in a good direction. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with R.E., and we're just talking about the challenges in relationship. We started the show talking about attachment styles and the pleaser attachment style, and we discovered so much about how we connect as human beings. And Mark, I just want you and Alice to kind of finish with RE, but I think our audience is learning so much about this dynamic that happens in relationships.
Yeah, and you know what I really liked about what you said there, Becky? You were talking about Ari not having words, right? And that's literally what he's saying. He loses language. Here's something that you might consider thinking about, Ari. You might consider thinking about where in your body that you're experiencing the stress or the pain or the tension. Most of the time for people who are pleasers, it's somewhere in their stomach. And what I might say to a client is, what would your stomach say at this moment? If your stomach had words, and so some of the words for you could even be something extreme of, I'm going to die, right? And then I would ask you, what does that mean for you? What's the negative core belief about, you know, that refers to you? And it could be, I'm not safe. And so sometimes learning to be able to tell that to a spouse, because often what happens is we get this dynamic where you get two people who match up, and I wonder if this is what's happening with your wife, if she has a wound where she wasn't heard when she was younger, so that when she's talking to you and she's expressing and you're going silent and you're not saying anything, it reinforces that wound to her that I'm not being heard, so she keeps on talking more and getting upset more, and then that exacerbates the pattern where you freak out and you continue to not have language. So I wonder if that's what's happening. What do you think,
Alice? That's great.
Well, sometimes pushing more talk therapy, Ari, if you don't add some supplemental treatment, it's not working for you because of this lack of a verbal ability to put your emotions and your memories into words. So I'd want you to consider adding biofeedback is a way to learn how to calm the body, calm the brain. It's a form of therapy. You might need an antidepressant or supplements to treat your anxiety to then be able to talk through and access the memories that you're struggling to get to. And eye movement desensitization and reprocessing is a particular form of therapy that helps us work with those memories that are so emotionally charged, we can't even touch them. And we have clinicians in our new life network who are skilled in all of these ways, and we can connect you with a therapist that can provide you these services.
I appreciate all of this so immensely. I will add just a tiny dimension, because I've read your library, and there are times when I would bring things up and it would either be dismissed or detracted back to me or diminished, and I think you know where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where
that
I think
it helps.
That's where it's probably important for you to be able to have, you know, a couples therapist, somebody who can help navigate you, can help guide you guys, separate you into a listener-speaker role. Ask your wife to hold on a minute, so that you have some time to gather your words, and then, you know, coach her how to reflect back. What do you hear Ari saying? Right, and just slowing the process down enough so that you feel like you are being heard.
Well, and it would be great for you guys to join us at a intimacy and marriage workshop sometime. We're going to be in the Dallas area later this year, but we're going to be in D.C. in July. But I'm so glad you called, Ari. You're not the only one. This happens in all kinds of marriages, and it's the one thing that we can give you tools to have those conversations that can change the dynamic. And we're grateful that we have those tools. We're going to go back to the calls. Thanks for calling, Ari. And we are going to talk with Jamie, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., also watches us on YouTube. Hi, Jamie. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Oh, hi. I just wanted to ask you, I've been asked by a young woman to be her sponsor. And she works in a managerial position, and when we get together, she wants to take charge of the conversation. And when the conversation becomes uncomfortable for her, she abruptly changes the subject or states that that's it. She doesn't want to talk about this anymore. And I want to be the best sponsor I can, but I want to bring it to her attention without wounding her, you know, criticizing her. What can I do?
Okay, great question. All right, Mark, we'll start with you. Oh, well, Allison's got an answer.
Allison, you got
it. I heard that breathe. She's like, oh.
Ahead, Jamie, Allison. I love this question. We have something called a meta conversation where we talk about talking. Mm-hmm. And so you might bring to her attention, oh, okay. There's something that happens between the two of us that I need to point out to you. Can you be a listener to me for a little while? And Jamie, have prepared a couple of the recent examples of what has taken place. So then you get your sponsee, you try to get her to agree. Let's label this. And may I have your permission to point out when this is happening, when you take charge of the conversation. But in order for the sponsor relationship to work, you need to allow me the leadership role. So when this is happening, I'm going to gently, kindly point this out to you. We might even have a code word. I'm going to point out what's happening. And then let's strategize how we'll reestablish, you'll give back the authority of the conversation to me. If you had a meta conversation like that, how do you think she'd respond?
I think she'd respond well. She, you know, she's pretty good. I just wanted to do it the right way. Mm-hmm. I also know she's very sensitive. She's very sensitive. And I don't want to just, I don't want her to just cut us off. Like, you know, she has.
You want to protect the relationship, but still point out a tough truth.
Exactly.
That might be hard for her to receive. And you can even point out that it's probably a skill that serves her very well in her manager role, but it'll get in the way of what she's asking for from you in her sponsee role. So point out the positive in it. But strategize how to handle
great.
It.
Absolutely. That's great, Mark.
Yeah.
What would you like to add?
Yeah, well, I would add, because Alice said exactly what I was going to say, except the words meta-conversation. I love that word. I think you're very clear, Jamie. You asked this question in a very clear and a very succinct way, and I think that your sponsor can learn from your modeling of how to do that. And she can also learn from your confrontation, right, in a healthy way. And so I love what Alice said about giving permission, but I think on your side, it's also needing to learn how to tolerate maybe a disappointment or a discomfort in her when you challenge her and maybe her feelings get hurt, because that's really what we need. We only grow under tension, and so she really needs that you to create that tension for her so that she can learn to sit in that and manage it. But I think, you know, you modeling those healthy skills, she'll learn from. So good job. I'm so glad that you're her sponsor.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible in case you don't already have it. But, you know, that is such an important relationship in the life of somebody who's working recovery. We're so glad that you called, Jamie. We've got some lines open. We're going to continue to take calls. If you are on the line, hold on for the next show and we'll get to you. 1-800-229-3000. Tomorrow, JJ West is going to join us. He's the presenter at Every Man's Battle every month, and he'll be one of the co-hosts, and he's a licensed therapist, has a great ministry, and you know, we're just glad that y'all will get to hear from somebody who's doing this work every single month at our Every Man's Battle workshop. He helps so many men, and the counselors help so many men, and if this is something that you're struggling with, you can give us a call and we'll get you connected to the next workshop, because we know that it can make all the difference in the world. Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Mark, for all the wisdom that you bring. Do you have any wise words before we close this show?
People pleasers face that fear of disrupting and disappointing, because when we grow our courage, we really love the people around us better. And your no and your opposing opinion are good for you, and they're good for your listener, too.
Well said, Alice. We'll see you next time, and we're going to take their calls, so stay on. We'll be right there.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.